'Tis a time for confession, of course, in this morning, and I have to confess that I used to be a geography teacher. And that usually was a conversation stopper. People would then go on and say, well, have you got any hobbies? I wouldn't say Peterborough United after what happened yesterday. Two late goals by Crystal Palace and everything else. And still, we shall take League One by storm next season, and the expectations have changed from losing every week to winning every week, you see. So, gotta hope that Darren will do what his dad did last year when Manchester United lost the Premiership title in the last minute by saying, right, you know, we are focusing now on the future. But people would say to me, had I any hobbies? And I'd say, well, the weather. And that was usually a bad thing to say, because they'd say, and how people ask a question, they'd say, you don't believe all this guff about global warming, do you? Or else they'd say, cool, you know, do your records prove that the weather's getting warmer? So you always had to answer about that. But having been a geography teacher, people used to assume that I was good at getting from A to B. Those of you who know me know that that's not true. I managed to get a party of boys lost once in Harold Dodal Country Park. And that's quite difficult to do. And they were very good about it. Sir, shouldn't the minibus be here? Sir, do you know where we are? As I say, they were very good about it. But on another occasion, I was staying in Minehead at the Baptist Holiday Fellowship place. And it was decreed that on the Sunday afternoon we would go for a leisurely stroll on Exmoor. I was deputed to lead the walk. Richard's a geography teacher, you see. And we were taken by cars up onto Exmoor. I was given the map. Never been there before. And this assorted party of including some godly ladies of mature years, shall we say, who were out for a Sunday afternoon gentle stroll. We all got out and they said, now we in the cars will drive, you know, round and Richard will lead you. Well, you look at Ordnance Survey maps. We didn't Google in those days, and I couldn't today anyway. But, I mean, Ordnance Survey maps, paths, dotted lines. And this area of Exmoor had loads of dotted lines on it, gently diverging, you know. You hadn't a cat in hell's chance of getting the right one, as far as I was concerned. Anyway, we got lost. And the only way we could get back to the cars was by scrambling across a rather steep ravine infested with nettles. From the looks on the faces of some of the godly Baptist ladies, they weren't actually best pleased. To my immense relief, it was sort of agreed that if they had any more walks, I wouldn't lead them. But getting from A to B was never my strong point. Be warned. Mum could never understand how anybody who did A-level geography and a degree in geography and taught geography couldn't, had no sense of direction. But there you are. It's true. Now, two of our readings today suggest getting from A to B. The gospel reading has Jesus saying to his disciples, don't be worried and upset, peace I give you. And then that passage in Revelation has a picture of heaven, how you want to see it, how things will be at the end of time. And it has that tree, doesn't it, growing alongside the river that runs through the city streets. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Big scale transformation, healing of the nations. Something that we might think is highly desirable. If we think it's sort of worth having. But mind you, we wouldn't start from where we are today if we wanted to get there, with a chaotic and dangerous world. However, it's worth noting that Jesus didn't just say, peace I leave with you. He said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives peace do I give you. And that's good news, because it seems to me that the world, our systems, is wonderful at delivering war and conflict and manages to louse up peace big time. I only have to do what I do occasionally in the afternoon and look at the Discovery Channel for the endless repetitions of World War I in colour and World War II, the complete history and things like that. And into war went an enormous amount of effort, fantastic organisation, production on an unimaginable scale of thousands of tanks, millions of shells, and goodness knows what else. But there's the other side to it. World War One was going to produce here a country fit for heroes to live in, wasn't it? That's what was said. What happened was depression, unemployment, and in Europe, the rise of Nazism. World War Two, in the darkest days of World War Two, one of Winston Churchill's speeches had the words that if we succeed, you know, the world may move into sunlit uplands. Wonderful picture on a day like today. The reality from 1945 was a Cold War, the Korean War, East and West armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons. It was the policy, wasn't it, they called of mutually assured destruction, with the initials MAD, which about summed up what it was, really. And those of us who lived through those days, you know, there were films produced like Threads and things like that, that showed what would happen if there was a nuclear war. The whole of society would be laid waste. Then we had the seeming miracle and wonderful news of the fall of communism. You remember seeing perhaps on television screens the fall of the Berlin Wall. And the euphoria that was generated by that, there was going to be a peace dividend. And perhaps the world would move into its sunlit uplands. What do we have? We have the rise of terrorist groups who we hadn't heard of before. Al-Qaeda, 9/11, a messy mix of threats that we don't know how to deal with the United Nations policy being changed, aggressive peacekeeping to try and control this. It's like a hydra, isn't it? With many heads, you know, you chop one off and another one grows. And even the Arab Spring seems to be going sour, doesn't it? And if you add in North Korea as well into the mix, there doesn't seem much sign in our world of actually the healing of the nations getting nearer by what we're doing at present. Yes, okay, in South Africa there's been significant change, and the Northern Ireland peace process shows that things that are almost impossible can happen. And on an individual scale, in people's individual lives, as far as we're concerned in our life experience, sorry, I've got to hold this here, haven't I? We're better off, better educated, and yet stress and the fear of crime, suicide, particularly among young men, unemployment, the stresses build up, and people like the Samaritans and Childline have an ever-expanding workload, and we thank God for them, except in one sense we shouldn't need them, you know, but they're so vital. There's no sign on an individual level of all being wonderful. And I've got to go back here now, but I'm not convinced of the long-term likelihood of success from these adverts that I've got. One says, do you want to relieve stress? You take out a mortgage, hopefully not just repayment only, or interest only with the post office. That's supposed to, you know, a stress relieving mortgage. I don't know how you rate that. Another one, here we are. Would you like a personal oasis of tranquility? If you do, if you would, it's a diplomat recliner. You have your personal oasis of tranquility for a mere £799. Well, to think if a recliner costs that much, it'd better give you a personal oasis of tranquility. And that, by the way, is saving you £350. And finally, would you like complete peace of mind? You would? Well, here you are, at Cornwall's eco-inspired retreat. There you are, with wonderful pictures there. If you want them afterwards, you have a look. That would cost you a three-bedroom home. This is St. Ives in Cornwall, so it's fairly upmarket. Three-bedroom home in Bedford, probably 200,000, if you're lucky. 300-bedroom, three-bedroom home here to give you complete peace of mind from 365,000. So if you've got the money and you believe that, well, I suppose you probably believe everything or anything. But it shows what people are after, doesn't it, given that adverts carry that. Well, Christians believe, and I believe, that we need a new way. What we're doing isn't working. And if we are to be at peace, and if the nations are to be healed, then somehow we've got to change direction. Augustine said of God, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they rest in you." Well, I wonder if that's the key, that our hearts really are restless until they rest in God. It's what Jesus suggests. He offers us what he offered his friends, the gift of his peace. The security of knowing that we're loved by God no matter what. No wonder St. Paul prayed for a group of the early Christians that they might come to know God's love. And it seems to me that this security of knowing God's love, or knowing love, is what we pray today for Sebastian. We pray that he will grow up secure in his parents' and family's love, and that he will know that. It's what we pray for ourselves. It seems to me it's more important and more lastingly effective than even health and wealth. We might pray for that for ourselves and everybody else. But they don't necessarily, do they, bring harmony and peace. I know some healthy people who are miserable. I know some unhealthy people who are amazingly happy. Not that we wish poverty or illness on anyone. But health and wealth don't necessarily deliver the goods. But love, it seems to me, assures us and enables us to be inwardly secure. No matter what. Independent, if you like, of circumstances. And very simply, Jesus offers to give us his peace in the power of God's love that raised him from the dead. He invites you and invites me to do what you do with a gift, to receive it. To give his peace a chance in our lives and in our world, if we think it's worth it. And if we do think it's worth it, then the invitation is to journey together to find out about it. And we try to do that here, as many of you know, on Sundays and on other occasions as well. And so Jesus invites us all to give it a go. It transformed his friends' lives, there's no doubt about that. And so it could ours, and through us, our world, in ways that we can only begin to imagine.